secrets. Things done that are not fully known to everybody. I was watching a show the other night. And y'all may have seen it, you might not. It's about this, the leader or the CEO of companies going and acting like he's a just a new person, and he gets to know the people that are doing the work, and yet he's the owner of the company, and he comes down and he sees really how each one of them think about their job and what they're doing. And he was with this one guy, I can't remember what they were doing, but he put on a disguise, you know, and he went around with him, and he couldn't really, the CEO anyway, couldn't do a lot of the things that he was asking him to do. And he wasn't doing them well and needed a lot of help. And anyway, he was watching the man and tried to get a little bit more about his life, and he found out that he was a veteran and he was working that job, trying to go to school, trying to better himself to help other people that were veterans. And then, of course, he didn't know anything about who he was talking to. And at the end, you know what happens? They meet, and he doesn't have on his disguise anymore, and he says, "You know who I am?" And he said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, I own this company." He says, "You mean I was the one talking to you? You mean you were the one that I was training, and you're in this company?" He said, "Yeah, and I saw how much you enjoyed the service. Your work. I loved watching you do it with a joy, and you wanted to do it for not only the betterment of yourself, or you're a good, I guess, ambassador for this company." And he gave him great blessings. I bought him something else, paid for his schooling, and then, I don't know, helped him out some other kind of way. And he gave him $40,000 or however much money, and the man just sat there and wept. And I thought, man, that man wept and rejoiced over $40,000 because he had been recognized by the one that owns the company. And then I got to thinking about all the blessings that we enjoy and have been given by God Almighty. And how sometimes when we go through this life and we serve and we do things that we are commanded to do, and it seems like we're not receiving the reward. Or it might seem like, is God there? Does He see me? Are the things that I am doing in His service, are they going unnoticed? So, I want us to think about God this morning in terms of Him seeing us and some other secret things. In Isaiah chapter 45, This is a long chapter talking about Cyrus and him calling Cyrus to do to deliver who was a Gentile to deliver the Israelites. And he starts out in verse 5, he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I am the CEO of the universe. Though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. I'm going to skip on over a little bit. Do you get the picture of what the Lord's telling them? He's telling them, I can choose to do it however I want. If it seemed disgusting to you that I deliver you by a Gentile, then you're just going to be disgusted. But it's going to happen according to my counsel. He says, I am God. I am sovereign. And it goes down in verse 17, it says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So the Lord, just in a general way, the Lord created this earth. And He did not do it in secret. This earth is not, all of the creation is not hid. They all declare the glory of God. All of His creation declares His glory. Whether we realize it or not, all the earth declares His glory. He did not do that in secret. And yet there were some things that were done in secret. His creation was not done in secret. Yet there was no man around to view His creation until He created that before He created man, right? So there are some things that are done in secret and some things that are done in not. Some things God did in secret. And there are secret places in God that we can't tell. I don't know what Sister Zula is experiencing right now. That's a mystery to me. But I know some things about that. She's satisfied. I know that the Lord is there. And I know that she's with Him. I know that my friend, Elder Bobby Willis, is walking with the Lord today. And I know one day that I'm going to be walking with Him. But yet I don't know. Paul says it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But I know this, Paul says, we all are going to be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, when the last trump shall sound, that's at the resurrection, then we'll all know. There's another secret that God, that Paul says, he said, we see through a glass darkly right now. He says, but then we'll know as we are known. Now, I'll tell you what. Can you imagine knowing what God knows? I'm not saying we can be to that level, but I tell you what. However, to the level that we are known, that's how we're going to know. That's amazing to me. But it's a mystery to me. There are some other things that the Lord... You talk about doing things in secret. Let's turn over. The Lord talked about this a lot in Matthew. You know, everybody wants to hear a secret, don't they? Man, whenever I was a kid, I always wanted to hear a secret. Somebody says, hey, I got a secret. Boy, my ears perked up and I was tuned in and turned on. You know? Were you that way? I got a secret to tell you. Ooh, let me hear it. Because we all want to hear a secret because it's something, because we want to be in the know, don't we? We want to be in the know. And Matthew, I'm sorry, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. So there were some things that were done by God in secret. Paul talked about the mystery, and I don't want to, it's a big subject, and I can't deal with all of it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All, and this is a lot of this is after the parable of the sower and the kingdom parables, part of them. And it says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So the Lord was speaking secrets to the people that could hear them. There were a lot of people that heard his parables that didn't understand them. Even the disciples didn't understand them. They wanted him to explain them. But the Lord says, I'm going to utter those things. I mean, it was prophesied of him saying, he's going to utter things that are kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, that's a long time for something to be in secret. But just because it's a secret don't mean somebody don't know it. The Lord knew it. You go back to the Old Testament and you look at all the prophecies of Christ. Look at all of the things that were done in secret that were revealed in the New Testament by Christ, by the Spirit. And he says, that they have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. You think about all this. When the Lord came, what was his message? What was his message about? It was about the kingdom of God. Daniel didn't understand it when he says, when he interpreted that dream and said that, you know, he saw that great warrior with the head of brass and the feet of iron mixed with clay and the breastplate of gold and all that. He didn't understand what all that meant. He interpreted it correctly, but I don't think he understood it. It was a secret to him, but and even afterwards he said, but after these kings oh, Nebuchadnezzar, there's going to rise another kingdom that's going to consume and all of these other kingdoms, and it'll last forever. And so that was what Christ was telling them and us about. And he used parables to do it. And he was uttering those things that we did not understand about his kingdom. Part of the things that he talked about was in Matthew, this is a Sermon in the Mount, chapter 6. And he says, take heed that you do not your alms. You know what an alm is? Y'all know what an alm is? It's a gift to the poor. That's what an alm is. So when you go to the store and they have these donation drives and they want you to give to St. Jude or Le Bonheur or Children's Miracle Network or whatever like that, and they have a big heart or something, and you put that money in, and they say, I donated to blank, 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 and they get you to write your name down there. That's doing your alms before men. I'm not saying it ain't good to give to those places. It is. They do a lot of good, and that's not really sounding a trumpet before you. Look what good I've done. It's not really that. But it's maybe a kazoo. Doo-doo-doo. You know, it's not getting there. But that's an alms. It's given to the poor. The Lord says, take heed. That means take notice. That you do not your alms before men. To be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. It didn't say it didn't do the poor any good. It said it didn't. It won't do you any good. If you give openly and sound a trumpet before you or do it before men to be seen of men. Have you ever given somebody something and you wanted somebody to see how much you gave? That's what he's talking about. It's like if a preacher comes up and the Lord blessed you with some money and you put $100 in there in the thing and you kind of opened it up real wide and put it right there and you did that number. It still did the preacher good, but it didn't do you any good. That's what the Lord says. It's not going to help you. You won't have any reward from God when you do that way, when you give that way. But he does tell us how to do it. In verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, I'm going to stop. He says, when thou doest, not if thou doest. Words mean something, y'all. He says, when thou doest, not when thou thinkest of doing. Right? We're hitting it pretty hard now, ain't we? I'm hitting myself too. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And their reward is that men saw them. Do you get it? That's their reward. When they give the money to the poor and they sound a trumpet and they have a statue made after them, that's their reward. When they have a foundation because they were so benevolent that they gave a lot of money to orphanages or whatever cause it was, when they have something dedicated to them in their name and they like that, they have their reward. And it's a reward of men, not of God. Now, the Lord says, but when thou doest alms, or giving to the poor, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now that's a secret, isn't it? If you can do something with your left hand and your right hand doesn't know what it's doing, because we're so connected. You understand? I can do something with my right hand or left hand, and it's not out here. It may be here. It's in secret. That's the whole point. The Lord wants you to do that in secret. And watch this. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I thought about the young man that was working at that job and the CEO came and watched him, and he wasn't working hard because he thought the CEO was watching him. Right? He was working hard because that was ingrained in him. That was just his manner of life. He was not motivated by looking good for the CEO. That's what a hypocrite does. That's what a man that is wanting to be rewarded of men. He wasn't looking for that. He was just doing his job. And he was doing it with joy and with pleasure. And I thought about us as we try to be a servant of God, how many times do we do something in our lives because we want to be seen of men, even though it's something good? What's our motivation? Is our motivation to be seen of men or service to God so that He would see it? And maybe even not that He would see it, but that just do it because it's right and because He commanded it. For the things that we do in secret, whether they're good or bad, the Lord sees them. And it says when you do these alms in secret, the Lord will reward thee openly. Let me ask you a question, and this is a reality check. How many times have you given money to a poor person and felt bad about it? How many times have you given money to a poor person or somebody that was in need and didn't get back that much and more from the Lord? It might not have been in money, you understand. It might have been in close fellowship with the Lord. It might have been that He visited you in a special way. He goes on, because there's three things that He says that we do in secret that the Lord rewards us openly. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. He's telling us not to be hypocritical, I think, because the first bunch was hypocrites and the second bunch is hypocrites too. He says, and when thou prayest, don't pray, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Who do you want to see you praying? It's kind of a personal thing, isn't it? Prayer is a personal thing. And I thank God that there are men, I believe, that are not only willing and able, but happy to pray publicly, to pour out their soul in the congregation. It's supposed to be that way in the church. And yet they're not supposed to have an attitude that I want to pray. I want him to call on me because I'm a good prayer man. I'm a good prayer. When I pray, people rejoice. That's the attitude that the Lord is telling us that we ought not to have. That's a hypocrite's thinking. He says, but don't be like the hypocrites, that they pray, it's just like sounding a trumpet before they do their good works and give alms to the poor. They love to pray in the corners of the streets, and just like that old publican and the Pharisee, right? You remember when the publican stood, he stood up and him and the sinner were there, and the old publican and the Pharisee says, Lord, holds his hands out, and he's like, look at me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this old pitiful poor sinner right here. I fast 3 days a week. I give my tithes of all the things. And he said, and he went through the list of all the good things that he had done, and it didn't help him a bit. But people saw him pray, and that was his reward. You know what the poor sinner did? The publican. He fell down on his knees and he smote his breast and he says, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You see the attitude? The attitude was that that man recognized his situation and he knew that he was in a spot to need mercy. The Pharisee has the idea that God owes me something because I'm so good. But that's not the attitude that God's children ought to have. They ought to have the attitude that I'm a pitiful sinner and Lord, I need mercy. I need mercy. And so the Lord continues with instructions. He says, they do that to be seen of men. I tell you, I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you get the sense that the Lord watches us? Do you get the sense that He sees what we're doing, though we might not really realize that He's there? Do you get the idea that that the Lord is serious about how we're supposed to conduct our lives? He's serious about how we're supposed to have the attitude that we're supposed to have in our whole life, not only when we give alms, but when we pray. He's serious about it. He says, if you pray in the corners of the streets to be seen of men, you'll have your reward. But right here, he says, you go into that place that is very personal. You go into that place that's where you can pay attention. You go into that place that where nobody else can hear you. You go into your own little sound chamber, into your closet, and you shut the door. Because if other people are listening to you, you might not pray the way that you would if somebody else was listening. I don't want y'all to hear my prayers. Not the ones that come from the deep inside. Not the ones that... when I pour out my soul to God, I don't want y'all there. I don't want y'all to hear those. Because I don't want you to know what's going on. Because you can't help me anyway. Only God can help that. Only God can help that kind of prayer. He says, when you pray that way, the Lord will reward you openly. Then he goes and he talks about the prayer, the model prayer, and then he talks about forgiving men their trespasses in verse 14, and your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a whole sermon in itself. 16. Moreover, when you fast, notice, he didn't say if, he said when. Words mean something. And I don't want to preach about fasting today, but have you ever fasted for a spiritual reason? I'm not talking about because you had a test at the doctor the next day. I'm talking about for a spiritual reason. It's a practice that's lost and needs to be revived. When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. So I think the Lord is, again, telling us not to be hypocrites. Saying one thing and doing something else. Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When you fast, you know, some people, have you ever done this? Been not really looking for some sympathy. Have y'all ever looked for sympathy? I have. When you didn't feel all that good or something wasn't going good in your life and you just, you know, says, I just feel so horrible. And then people say, well, what's wrong, honey? And then you go through your list. We're just looking for... We're looking for some kind of connection, aren't we? We're looking for some sympathy. These men were looking for not... Well, they were looking for a little bit of sympathy, but more than that, they were looking for praise. They were looking for to be seen of men, because fasting was considered a very godly thing to do. And it still is. But, you know, when you fast, you're hungry. When you fast, the hunger pains come upon you, and you can't think about anything else. I mean, have y'all? If you've never fasted and gone without food for several days, you don't know what it feels like. The pain in your stomach and the emptiness that you feel. The reason for it is so that you would set your mind on God. And that every time the pains come upon you, you remember why you're fasting. You remember to be in prayer for that specific thing. You remember that. But when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces like they're writhing in pain. For they that they may appear unto men to fast, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we've got these three things. We've got giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. That the Lord says, I see you. I see you. Other men don't need to see you do those things. Because if you do it for the right motivation, I see you. There's something else. I want to go to Revelation chapter 2. This is to the church at Pergamos. And he was talked to them. The angel wrote to the church at Pergamos and he says, I've got some things and you've got some things that you need to deal with. He said, you're allowing folks to come in and teach. They got some among you that are teaching false doctrines. And they're a stumbling block to the children of Israel. There's also some of the have the doctrine that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. This is verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And in verse 17, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Y'all ever read that verse? Y'all know what it's talking about. Apparently, the Lord has already told them that they have some things to repent of, some things to guard against, some things to watch out for, namely false doctrines among themselves. And he says, those of you that have an ear to hear, hear. Let him hear. And he says, to him that overcometh. Now what is that? That means to the man, to the woman, to the child that knows something is wrong and doesn't partake in that. That knows that some doctrine is wrong or some action is wrong or something is wrong and they don't go and do it or they don't go and believe it or they don't go and spread it around. To him that overcometh. To him that doesn't let that overtake them. You got it? To the man that is more steadfast, the woman, the child, that is more steadfast of mind and have a conviction of heart that they don't let these things overtake them, but they overcome them. To the man that does that, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That's in secret place. Have you ever read where the disciples were all that, and they were there. I think it was after the woman at the well, and they says, "Master, eat." And he says, "I've got meat to eat that you know not of. I'm doing the will of my Father. I have sustenance from another quarter that you don't understand. I've got the peace that passes all understanding. You don't see it, but I feel it. I've got it," the Lord said. I've got meat to eat that you know not of. What did he mean there? He meant the Lord is blessing me in the things that I do, yet you don't understand it. You don't know how the relationship is between me and my God, my Father. There are a lot of things that you know that nobody else does. There are things that God knows about you and you know He knows about them that nobody else does. Have you ever done something in secret that nobody else knew and you were busting almost to tell it, but you didn't? Because the Lord gave you a special feeling on the inside that was way greater than any accolades of men could be. I think this has to do with satisfaction, spiritual satisfaction. I think the hidden manna is things that the Lord says, "I'll give you meat to eat that other people will know not of." You'll have blessings in your life when you overcome those things. You'll have blessings in your life that even though on the outside people may think that it's really tough on you, but you're going on the inside. You've got meat to eat, sustenance given to you from the Lord that other people know not of. And He says, "And I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it." Now there are several different reasons why this is considered maybe a little bit of a mystery about the white stone. Some have said that after a slave was set free, he was given a stone by his master with his name on it, the master's name. I've heard that. But did you know that in those days, in the Roman days, what a Roman would do is when they had, I can't remember, Areopagus or maybe was the place of judgment. That is a big place where the council used to meet. And they had a pot over there. And the people that sat in judgment, after the case was heard and all the things were tried and all the witnesses put up, the people would give their judgment. The court people. And if they were condemned, they would throw a black stone in the pot. And if they were exonerated or found not guilty, they would cast a white stone in the pot. Now I want to say that the Lord says that him that overcometh, I'm going to give you a hidden manna to eat. And I'll give you a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. That sounds to me like it's a little bit of secret stuff, don't you? It's a hidden thing. It's something that's not shed abroad for everybody to see. But that white stone is your that you got from the Lord. When you overcome, that's a white stone, and it's a token for you. It's a token that lets you know that my Lord saw what I did and He gave me some confirmation and a token that He's with me and that He saw it. What's your white stone today? My white stone today is that I know that I am God's and He is mine. My white stone is knowing that I am no longer a slave, that I've been set free by Christ, and that is that white stone I've got with me all the time. And you know, I don't know what my new name is, but I tell you this, God put His seal on it, and I know that I'm His. That's what my white stone is. You want to know something else about my white stone? My white stone also lets me know that I am not, I have, my judgment has been declared already by Christ, because His sacrifice took all my sins away. And you know what that white stone is, really? I think it's the earnest of the Spirit that shed abroad in our hearts and gives us the ability to cry, Abba, Father. And it witnesses with our spirit that we're children of God. I don't know what that name is on there, but I think it's a slave that's been set freed, and it has a name on it. And I think the name is God, indicating that He's the one that judged me, set me free, and I'm in His house. And no man knows what no man knoweth saving he that received it. I'm not saying we can't live a life that exemplifies that we've got the stone. But you know what? How could you explain that to somebody? You can't do that before men. You can't. The name. Just think about it. How do you explain how God saved you, or what all He did to save you? You couldn't recall all of your sins that He paid for. There are not enough pens in the earth to write them down. You got a white stone. And in that is the name of God. I want you to remember, you got a white stone. And it declares that you've been set free, that you're God's, and you are in His house, and that the judgment has declared you righteous. Those things are somehow hidden. And somehow, they're not really hidden because you know it, even though others might not. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless you to live as a servant this week. And may your motivation be to please the Master and not men. You may come during the song service should you have a desire to walk in the ways of the righteous by baptism. May God bless you.